Okay, so good friend of mine in real estate, in that sort of social media sector, reached out to me last night and said, "Mark, what's the formula for buying property investment?" It was a really big question that I had to answer in a really small sort of sentence. So stay tuned. We're going to talk about buying property and what to look out for, the magical mix of what you should buy. The magic mix. It's like a potion.
How am I going to answer this in 5 minutes, Billy? How are we going to do this?
Yeah, good luck putting this into a text message. I would have just said, tune in tomorrow. You'll get all the
Well,
secrets.
I called in, but I was running into another appointment, and I was like, blah, 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 so I'm going to blah, 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 right now. You go first.
Well, to start off with, there is so many ingredients to this beautiful mix, the successful
Quick,
mix.
Billy, quick, quick.
I
Get
guess you could
into
say I guess you could say that you can start with location, price. I've even had people say to me, "Mark, I don't buy one bedrooms."
It's hard. It's really, really hard. And look, where it came from, a good friend of mine, Jonathan, his accountant turned around. This is normally how it happens. His accountant turned around and said, "You've got to buy a property for tax reasons." So he's like, "Cool, what do I buy?" He's like, "I think you can buy in your super." He's like, "Cool, what do I do?" So he's like, "You've got to go talk to a financial advisor." I spoke to a financial advisor, helped him save some money. He said it was actually very expensive to do, helped him save some money with some of his insurances, but he's still, got there, didn't really get that sort of property guidance information that he wanted. He then was referred from the financial advisor to property people, and he felt like he was getting like the slick sell job on new developments. And he's like, "Yeah, I sort of understand that they're a good investment, but I know good people in the industry. I'll reach out to them and ask them." I was fortunately one of them. What did I say?
Well, before you gave him your wise words, the feeling he got was being handed around a little bit. Probably, where if something came to fruition, he purchased, there might be a bit of a referral fee there. And I don't think that's a nice feeling. And I think you summed it up really well off air. The advice that you take from any professional, not just in real estate, is it the same practice they do? Do they practice what they preach? I think that's what you got to look at.
Yeah. And look, I sort of get it because, if I'm a stockbroker and I'm presented with a person that says, "I don't know whether I should buy a property or I don't know whether I should buy stocks." Like, I'm a stockbroker and I'm going to go, "These are the stocks I've bought that I think are great. This is what you should do. Property, no." So it's sort of like I get that even works with property that, you may be getting, it's a bit different with us because we get pretty much the same commission across the board. But with new developments and new areas in Sydney, sometimes a developer will pay a 5% commission or a 3% commission between Parramatta and Chatswood, and you will go, "Well, you should really buy Parramatta." And like, you're getting 5% off a Parramatta commission and a 3% off a Chatswood commission, but is that in the best interest of the clients? That's what I'm talking about. How do you watch out for that? And what is the actual, the proper, true combination of what to look for?
Yeah, well, tell us, please, enlighten
Okay,
us with what is the
now
combination like?
this is the most powerful thing I can say. Everyone gets caught up in like sort of the cogs, not the machine. And what I have to say is, when I was talking to my mate, I said, "Look, let's talk about yield. Yield is rent, right? Good yield, bad yield." I said, "Well, if your yield's going to be sort of 4, 5, 6%, whatever that's going to be, that's great. But I said, you've got to also consider capital growth, because capital growth is probably going to double in a proper where it should be doing well. Capital growth should double every 10 years. So let's pull that apart. 4, 5% for your rent every year. Doubling in 10 years is probably 8% compounded. So I said, you're talking about 13 to 15% per year is going to be what the a good property will surface. One third of that is going to be your rent. Two thirds of that is going to be your capital growth. So I said, capital growth is twice as important in your consideration than rent. And he went,
Yeah. Compared to someone who just focuses on the cash flow, which obviously is equally important, but if there's no capital growth there, you're only relying on the rental income. And as that property or investment ages, you know, is it going to keep up with the same return? Is there going to be any future growth in the market? So I think that's, you know, where people's consideration to new and upcoming suburbs get, you know, gets revised and looked at, because if there's going to be an influx of stock, there's no real price protection there.
Okay.
Basic economics of that.
That's a really good point. Influx of stock. So that was the next page I turned. So this is all within a couple of minutes. It was elevator conversation. And I was like, let's talk about influx of stock. Let's talk about supply and demand. So what do you mean? I said, well, I'd love you to buy in an old established suburb that's very sought after. So what do you mean? I said, well, to give you an idea, and Mike is a Melbourne guy, Jono. And I said, to give you an idea of what I'm talking about, Northern Beaches, Eastern Suburbs, North Shore, we don't really have new stock. Good example. Bad example, I said, Mascot and that sort of, that area through there, within a 12 year period, they went from 2,000 units, 4,000 units, 8,000 units, 16,000 units, 32,000 units total. Yeah. What does that do to your rent? And what does that do to your property value?
Well, it doesn't mean there's no growth. It just, the supply is constantly meeting demand. So as, you know, people move into the area, they can build more. So it doesn't, you know, foster the same capital growth as proper suburbs and properties that have a limited supply.
Well, allow me to give you an example. DY in 60 years sat on 8,500 units, which then moved to, over a 60-year period, 9,600 units. It didn't even change 10% over 60 years. That's a good example of an area that's not pumping in a lot of supply into its core market there. So there's your capital growth. There's your yield. Where do you buy? You know, try to balance those things that we're talking about today. And if you can buy wholesale, and what I mean is if there's less people in the loop, accountant getting a lick, financial advisor getting a lick, real estate agent getting a lick, broker getting a lick, another buyer's real estate agent, buyer's agent, right? So often if you can sort of shorten that, go direct, and you can begin to open houses and saying, look, you know, this is a good investment. And also, I think just, you know, talking to people in the know, they're always going to help you. You'll be shocked. The agents that you're meeting on the street, you just, you know, have a good old-fashioned open chat with them.
Yeah.
What's the formula? Before we go, what's the formula, Billy?
Can you read it? I'll take it off the message.
Huh?
Here was the formula that we got asked last night. Purchase plus costs minus rent equals return. What does the final figure need to be? I think the final figure really is, well, it's case by case, certainly. It's case
Don't
by
say
case.
It depends. I hate when you ask someone a question, they go, yeah, it depends.
It's all relative.
We love that one as well. What's the formula?
I am a believer that it is, it's costs, it's maintenance, it's everything packaged up into one, minus the rent. Quite often that can be a negative number. You might be negatively geared, but the capital growth plays trump card in this formula.
So where I think, believe it or not, and no one really talks about this, trust is unbelievably important. To have that, this is probably the biggest investment aside from your home that you're going to make in your life. So there's an enormous amount of trust involved in that. So I think the formula requires trust. I think the formula requires low stock for rental purposes and for resale capital growth purposes. I think the formula requires familiarity to make you comfortable. And not a lot of people say that, but I think when you know 10,000 things about a suburb, that breeds familiarity. So trust, low stock in that area, familiarity to help you sleep at night.
That's brilliant.
I reckon that's it. I reckon that's it. What do you think, Billy? What's your magic combo formula?
Yeah, similar. What I always get asked from investors is, why would I buy a property that loses money each week, negatively geared?
That
would be the biggest sort of hurdle they've got to step over in their head.
Can I answer that?
Go.
You're investing in a capital growth area rather than a high rental yield area. And back to what I said at the beginning, capital growth is 2 times more than your rent. So you're investing in the hope of capital growth. And generally there's a certainty there. You can see suburbs trend over 50 years. So that's why. And you're losing money for a short period because it catches up. And you're making money with capital growth that you can't spend until you sell it. Probably a good discipline.
Yeah, it's great discipline. In addition to that, you're enjoying the growth on the full amount of the property worth, not just the portion you put in to begin with. So it's quite different.
That's right.
Quite different to a transaction with shares. $10,000 in, $10,000 out, plus your growth. With the property, it's $10,000 in, plus the bank's $50,000 if you're using a 5x calculator, and then enjoying the growth on the full amount.
Spot on. So there you go. It's funny, people want to buy within 20 kilometers of where they live or grow up. Again, that third pillar, what I spoke about, familiarity, that's exactly right. You're making one of the biggest investments or the biggest investment in your life. You want that familiarity with where you're investing.
Boom.
See you guys. Thanks, Billy. Thanks, Jono.